Welcome to the IT Rockstars podcast. Our mission is to transform the way you grow your technology business.
Yeah, so I remember when I turned 17, I vaguely remember from a long time ago. And the only thing that put me off for driving lessons at the time was the price of the insurance. I don't know if you've researched that yet, or your daughter has.
Yes. So we're actually not too bad. It's not until I think she passes her test that it'll be expensive.
Okay.
While she's a learner, it's not too bad. But yeah.
Oh, is it different, is it?
I think we had quotes from between $2,000 and $7,000. So yeah. For a car that's worth $3,000. So
the damage she could cause to other cars.
Yeah.
If she
hits a Porsche, that would be not good. So
yeah, it totally put me off, because at the time, and this is going back a lot of years, my mum, for some reason, had an XR2i, and she's the slowest driver. And like all my friends are like, your mum's got a really nice car, Scott. I was like, I know. And I just remember the insurance, I think it was like £1,700. And that was back, it must have been 1996 or something.
I was going to say that was the car my dad had that I learned to drive in. No power steering. And it was so heavy. The steering on it was horrendous. No, it was a Cavalier SRI he had. No power steering. But I remember having very big muscles after learning to drive in that, I can tell you.
Right.
She won't have that problem.
That's good.
It won't be a big, powerful car.
I could go into a whole story about driving, but I won't bore you. Anyway, I think it was it Heather Crawford that mentioned your name in a LinkedIn post?
Yes.
How do you know Heather?
I met Heather at a CompTIA, so I'm a member of CompTIA.
Okay.
And she was at a CompTIA event, and I was bizarrely looking for somebody to do my books for me. I want someone local.
Okay.
And I thought, Glaswegian accent, that'll do fine. Caught up with her, and then she was like, no, I'm in, where is it? She's Southampton.
She's done herself somewhere.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not exactly local, but we hit it off. So yeah, she's doing her books now.
Oh, excellent. Okay, I always thought like accountancy work was a really sticky service. As in, you never changed accountant, but is it more bookkeeping?
Well, we also changed our accountant. We had some particularly bad advice.
Is that right?
Yes. So yeah, it's been quite good to get somebody new.
Yeah, I was looking into it. It was Aaron. I'd mentioned to her about R&D tax credits.
Yeah.
She'd kind of glossed over it because I'm going to, I guess, maybe not a thing anymore. I'm planning on getting an app built with AI. And I was like, I wonder if my accountant could like figure out if I can get any sort of tax break on this.
Oh, it's still definitely a thing. We get companies every week trying to offer their services to help us with our R&D. So
yeah,
it's definitely a thing.
Yeah. I'll have to look into it because I just thought it'd be a potential opportunity there for, some AI, that's an AI service that I'm hoping to launch later in the year.
Good.
But everyone's doing AI, aren't they? Are you doing AI?
Oh, we're dabbling in it. To be honest, I'm not massively blown away by the capabilities yet, but I'm sure it will become apparent when it's going to be useful. But it's useful for some, but a lot of the organisations that we work for don't have the data structure in place to make it really viable for them yet.
Okay. Organizations you work with?
Fairly small at the moment. We're looking to expand. Our kind of market is going to be to 50. We've got some bigger than that, but we've got a lot of one-man bands and a lot of noise and not a lot of profit. And we're slowly eking those ones out and trying to get bigger ones in their place. But yeah, we also work with a lot of charities as well, and their sort of data hygiene isn't the best. So that all needs to be sorted before you can start using AI in its full capacity within organizations.
Yeah, certainly with like Microsoft Copilot, though, we were waiting ages. One of my clients, we were worried about feeding OpenAI the company data.
Yeah.
But with Copilot, is supposedly insulated within the Microsoft 365 tenant.
It is. But if they've not got the right permissions in place, then they could have members of staff finding out what everybody's salaries are. So that's more what I'm concerned about.
Yeah, that was one of the first checks we did. It was like, can you tell me anyone's passport? Show me someone's passport. Or I was like, can you tell me X's salary? So I was like, yeah, totally. Yeah. Permissions,
Yeah.
Gotta love them. Yeah, so we I know when you connected with me, you'd mentioned that you were wanting to, I put in the form, these podcast forms. The whole point of our podcast is really to help IT businesses grow. That's the whole point of IT Rockstars.
Yeah.
Because it was a really big pain point I had when I had my IT business. And I know I'd put in, the question was like a topic related to growth, helping MSPs grow or IT businesses grow. And you started talking about women in tech. So yeah. I think we should get that out of the way first, if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it would definitely help businesses grow if they tried to get more women. We've got a huge amount of female talent out there that are put off by coming into the industry right from primary school age. And women bring a huge amount of skills into organisations that we really need. They've got a lot of the soft skills. Let's face it, IT people don't always get the best rap for having soft skills to talk to clients. And they've also got really good troubleshooting skills, because at the end of the day, we like to help people, and IT is just really about helping people. And I think they're put off too much by the sort of techie, geeky stereotypes that we see. I know that, having spoken to a lot of girls, especially teenage girls, having a teenage girl myself, they just won't study tech because it's tied up within the STEM acronym. So science, maths aren't interesting. So the little technology bit gets lost in there, and they don't actually understand what technology is or what the industry looks like or what the opportunities are. If we can get more of those young girls interested at a younger age, you're going to have a much bigger pool of people to get into your MSPs and help them grow. There's definitely a correlation there.
This podcast is sponsored by MSP Games. Are you looking to grow your IT or cyber services business? Want to discover the newest, most fun way to generate high-quality leads for your technology business? Visit msp.games and join our next game. Learn, connect, and discover how you can grow your IT business and have fun at the same time. msp.games. Join the fun.
Oh yeah, I think we need to unpack that. I get where you're coming from. Like, my mum's a nurse, or she was a nurse, and I was brought up to be helpful. And that's how I got into it, I think. I got into it because it was a hobby more than anything else. I didn't study IT at school. I didn't like the teacher at the time. Hopefully she's not listening.
That's usually what happens to most people at school, isn't it?
Yeah.
Teacher puts
them off. Just like a hobby that turned into, oh, we'll pay you money to do this type thing. So it wasn't like that. I didn't have that sort of path, educational path. But I totally get that piece. And this probably comes down to yourself, Amanda's, like, how did you get into it?
I didn't have that path either. I think my generation, and I don't know how old you are, but I think we're around about the same age, but my generation, women were told you could be a nurse or a secretary. That was your options when you left school. So I went down the secretarial route and ended up in a company where I was 19 years old, sitting with a group of ancient 40-year-olds in the typing pool. And they brought in the accounts department, because the accounts department were all in charge of these things in those days, brought a computer in and sat in the corner. I think it was an IBM, God knows whatever it was. Yeah. And then probably I was so bored of sitting waiting. And I was just got so bored that I basically set it up in the corner, taught myself Word Perfect, and then ended up training all these old women on how to use Word Perfect. And that's where it stemmed from. So again, it was helping people. It wasn't anything to do with having a joy of technology. And remember, my uncle, when I was 10, he could see the computer revolution coming. Yep. He asked me, what do you want for Christmas? I'll buy you a computer. And I said, oh, I really want a sewing machine. So I got a sewing machine. And I can't sew. I can't sew for talking. But he obviously saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. So it wasn't till then. Yeah. Much later that I went to IT, but I think we fell into it because it was a new thing, but there are definite paths now that we could be getting girls interested in, rather than having to get them in through other routes. So what I kind of do is, when we get a woman coming to work with us, if they have any interest whatsoever in the technical side, I try and corral them into that or encourage them. because actually they don't have to just be sitting doing the accounts or the marketing or all of these things that are important. But if they have an interest in tech, then why not?
I totally get it. It's that customer facing side that I totally get, where I'll just say women are better at certain things than men. And so, yeah, I totally get that. I am even like doing something like this, like having a podcast and recording it. If I look back 10 years ago, like I would have been like, oh, no way. I thought I'm doing this. Just not the type of thing I'd be doing. I'm happier being in a server room looking at an event log.
Yeah.
So I totally get that side of thing and the encouragement. That's, you know, you mentioned your uncle, they're buying you a sewing machine. One of the big things that happened to me, and I talk about this, is my gran, when I was like 11 or 12, she went and gave me £1,000 and says, go and buy yourself a computer, Scott. And I was just, that totally changed my path, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
Is that how we get them into tech? We just go and buy computers for, I've got a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old. So
yeah.
They are both girls. Yeah, I'm outnumbered completely.
But, dear. So, wait till you get teenage years. Your sanity will be blown.
I've got this, it's like a little outbuilding at the bottom of my driveway.
Excellent.
We're turning it into an Airbnb just now. I'm using it as an office.
Yeah.
But I may actually have to start like residing here at a certain point in my life.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah. No. I don't know. Things like, I think it's just about the way you talk to them about tech. And I don't know if you've seen or heard of the Mighty Girls books. They're really good to read to young girls. All about amazing female role models, not necessarily just in tech, but they're really good to get girls interested in that kind of thing from the beginning. But just being really mindful of not using the sort of lazy stereotypes that we use about technical geeks and that kind of thing, and just encourage them that they can be whatever they want, which I'm sure you will be.
Sure.
I've tried my best, but my daughter is adamant she will never be
I'm at that stage just now, like being a parent, where I'm like taking little nuggets of knowledge. I think one of the things that I've been told about trying your attempt to steer them in certain directions, the knowledge I've been told is you're supposed to really see what they like doing
and Absolutely.
Promote that more than anything else.
Yeah.
As opposed to maybe me going and buying them a computer or buying them all the hardware so they can build the computer, which I think is an even better idea.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. So that's one avenue. There's obviously the more educational side of things here. Like you mentioned STEM and things like that. Are you doing anything yourself in the company in regards to that sort of STEM initiative?
Yeah, so we go into primary schools and high schools and we take a whole load of old laptops and let the kids take them apart and put them back together again. It's what we do up here is what's called World of Work. So we do it as a part of developing the young workforce. We work with them and we do these workshops, and it gives them a little bit more hands-on of what is involved, because actually they've got a really warped view of what working in tech is like. They all think we sit with hoodies in darkened rooms and hack stuff, which is just the kinds of stuff they see on the television. But if we can actually get them interested, then it's fascinating, actually. It's a really enjoyable thing to do. And I think lots of MSPs should do that in their local communities, because it's a massive give back, but also I find it really enjoyable. I could only do it one day a year because it's exhausting. Children are exhausting. I could not be a teacher. But yeah, just to see how different kids deal with it. There are some that they would rather just, you gave them a hammer and they would just hammer it to bits.
Yeah.
And then you get the other kids who sit and draw a diagram of the motherboard so that they get everything back in the right place. And keep all the screws, and there's no screws, so they're not proper engineered because they've never got screws missing at the end. But yeah, it's fascinating to do. I think that's a really good thing to do. It's good fun.
That sounds like an excellent thing you're doing there. I love the fact that it's hands-on as well. Has anything that like come of that? Is there any stories there of students progressing?
We've definitely got quite a few people looking at the apprenticeship programs. We do foundation apprenticeships in Scotland. I don't know if it's a UK-wide thing. And all the sort of modern apprenticeships that they're bringing out, we've definitely had a lot of interest. Whether they then go on to do that, it's really difficult to tell, because we're getting them at the very early stages of high school. So whether they go on and do that, we're not quite sure yet. We haven't really got anybody that's gone right through high school yet and gone out the other side. But yeah, it would be interesting if we could get those statistics from developing the young workforce. But okay. We haven't got anything like that yet.
Alana, what about your business and like your position within your business? I mean, being, I'm going to assume you're the female in that technical role, or do you have other? Okay.
No, despite desperately trying. I used to, back in the 90s, I had an IT department of 6 women. And I didn't think that was unusual at all. Yes, we didn't do it on purpose. We picked the right people for the right jobs, but they just all happened to be women. But unfortunately, I haven't seen another one since. They've all just disappeared. Maybe I scared them off. Maybe that's what it was. But no, I do try. But you have to be quite careful what you wish for as well, mind you, because we did have one young girl that came in as an IT apprentice and showed an enormous amount of promise. But she was utterly miserable. It wasn't the right job for her. So we had to, although we wanted to keep her and try and mould her into what we wanted her to be, it wasn't for her. You can't necessarily make it fit.
It's not for everyone, is it?
No, absolutely not.
I've been going through that process with a few interns over the last 2 or 3 years now. It's interesting to see where they get to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then tell me, Amanda, a lot about your business, because I do attempt to do research on everyone that comes on the show. I haven't had an opportunity here. This is actually, I haven't done one of these podcasts in about 2 years, so
okay.
I'm just getting back into it. So I'd love to know a little bit about your business and potentially like how you got to where you are today, like how you've grown it to what it is at the moment.
Sure. Yeah, so I started it 17 years ago, so my daughter was 6 months old. I don't know why I did that. That was a bit mad. But the company I'd been working for wouldn't give me flexible working. And I had, my daughter was IVF, and I really did feel that having gone to such a huge amount to have children, to not be able to be with them seemed like a bit of a pointless exercise. Yeah. So having an employer that wouldn't give me flexible working, it just wasn't going to work. So I started up on my own, and 6 months later, the organisation that I had been working for went bust. So all the clients that I had been working with in Edinburgh came to me and said, can you please take us on board? So it was actually particularly good timing. So I ran it on my own for a few years, which was hell. I had my second child when my daughter was 2, so it was all very fraught for a while. And then I took somebody on, and just it grew very organically. So it was basically a lifestyle business for the longest time. Worked for the companies that had been with us, had been with me before. And then I got to stage as we got into the teenage years where they say they don't need you as much. And I thought, great, now I can grow the business to what I want it to be, the kind of vision that I had in my head. So it's been probably about 5 years now that I've been doing that, but still got plenty of growth left in us. But I would say the thing that probably turned the corner most for us and helped us grow the most was getting involved in peer groups. Okay. And I know that's something that a lot of IT owners don't want to do. They can be very insular, and I was as well. Couldn't imagine for the longest time speaking to competitors, and why would we do that? Why would we share all our secrets? But actually, we've all got the same problems, and sharing them is A, cathartic, keeps you sane, but also you get some really good ideas. So having joined CompTIA and also ConnectWise Evolve were basically major turning points for us as an organization. I would say they were, if I was going to recommend anything to an MSP that was wanting to grow, it would be that.
Yeah, the peer groups. Yeah, there's plenty of them as well.
There's plenty of them, yeah. And they're invaluable. The job that they do is fantastic.
I only became aware of them when I turned to the vendor side.
Yes,
I started becoming aware of all of these peer groups and what they were all about. And they're excellent places to start. And I guess that, coming from that woman in tech as well, that's where you can form these relationships with. We mentioned Tether, but does the bookkeeping and accounting for MSPs? Yeah, opportunity there as well. So you've taken the business to where it is just now. It's six month old baby via IVF. That's what we've got in common. 2 girls IVF as well. So I know what you went through there. It wasn't me, but
yeah, the process.
I know the
process. You know, the mechanics.
It was a long process with us, but
yeah.
Yeah, so that's that's a really interesting path, the way that you've taken it now. What's your plans for the future?
So my plan for the future
is your vision?
It's to double it. I think where we are at the moment is great, but I have plans to expand. So double the amount of staff, probably not double the amount of customers, but certainly using a lot more automation. I think we've got a lot of work to do in getting a lot of things automated. So we might not need to double the staff. There might be options to be able to work a bit smarter.
What type of things are you trying to automate?
Just this kind of basic stuff, like trying to get the billing to flow properly all the way through the process.
Okay. I can hear a vendor phoning you right now.
To work with the vendors that we currently have. But yes, I know that there are programs out there that will do that, but it just seems to be, having spoken to lots of MSPs and lots of peer groups, there's never really been a magic bullet that does all of it. People have almost got there, but there always seems to be something that doesn't work 100% brilliantly. So that, probably the sales process as well, getting better at the sort of marketing and sales side of things, which I think is particularly because we're essentially geeks and we just like to go and work on techie stuff. I think the marketing and the sales bit is generally quite difficult for us as MSPs, unless you have somebody that has started from a sales background.
I see, yeah. It's definitely a challenge, the marketing and sales, especially for something like IT as well.
Yeah, it's not the sexiest thing to sell, is it really?
No, I always say it's the same as like the window cleaner or the cleaning service for a business. It's always seen as a cost, and it's so difficult to try and explain to the business owner that actually it's an investment in the business. Put the money into this, and then if you've got things like automated processes and using tools and AI and all that stuff, it can actually really transform certain parts of your business.
Yeah, I think we should really rephrase it as a bit, everybody says a good accountant will pay for themselves. If we could rephrase that into a good IT provider should pay for themselves, because essentially we should. We should be making organisations much more secure, much better and quicker at what they're doing. So yeah, I think we should be using that rather than we're seen as an expense.
Definitely. And even if you look at, certainly the costs that I see coming through, your licensing and software is like a bigger cost than the IT service side of stuff half the time.
Yeah, but the problem is it all comes from us as a bill, so they see that as a cost from us.
Yeah.
Rather than that's actually bills. Just Microsoft. Yeah, we've started doing that. We've started splitting them. These are the things you buy from other people that we just resell, and this is the bit that is us. But yeah, it all gets bundled into the IT budget, doesn't it? Yeah.
Amanda, it's been excellent meeting you and asking these questions. Is there anything you'd like to leave our audience with, your IT rock stars? Anything maybe I haven't asked? And I do this usually before I hit record, is ask the question, what do you want me to ask? But how can people get in touch with you? But yeah, what's anything else you want to
say? Yeah, I think just we've talked about it before, encourage your young girls and get involved in peer groups. Those are the two most important messages I really have. And yeah, my LinkedIn profile is the best way to get in contact with me. I'm quite active on LinkedIn.
Cool. All right. Thank you for coming on. I'm now trying to think out how I can get my girls into IT, because I haven't really thought about it. So I have no idea. I've got
just
one.
Just let them take stuff apart.
Yeah, there is that. One of them likes Lego and one of them's totally glued to the iPad. Maybe we could take something apart.
Maybe not start with the iPad because they're quite difficult.
Yeah, it's all guns and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pencil lobe screwdrivers.